We had the rare opportunity last week to speak with Alan Greenspan, the man who led the Federal Reserve from 1987 to 2006. He served through booms and recessions. He's now 92. We asked him about the recent volatility in the stock market.
Well, I think it's basically the combination of not what the Fed is doing, which, remember, is short-term interest rates. Mm-hmm. It's what the market itself is doing for the 10-year Treasury note and, say, the 30-year Treasury bond. They've moved up significantly.
We also asked him whether the tax cuts had already had their impact on the economy or whether there was more to come.
The impact has been really quite significant, but it's already completed.
He did say the impact of the tax cuts on the deficit is concerning and could lead to inflation. We also talked with him about the economy more generally. He writes about it in his new book, Capitalism in America, A History, which he co-authored with Adrian Wooldridge. I asked Alan Greenspan if there are two economies in America.
Oh, we have more than two. It's more directly related to the structure of the economy. For example, the so-called Rust Belt is populated largely by industries which are very old. Silicon Valley, for example, is a classic case of the very new. There are very different pockets of economic growth and various degrees of stagnation throughout the country. And it depends, obviously, whether you're in the agrarian areas where soybean prices mean something, mm-hmm. or whether you're on the West Coast where the issue of high-tech stock prices is what everyone talks about. So the one thing about this country is it's very diverse, and it depends where you are.
You write in your book that the growth surge that this country experienced from 1998 to 2004 increasingly looks like a brief interruption of a much longer-term decline rather than the dawn of a new era of tech-driven growth. Why do you say that?
Well, when you look out into the future, we're slowing down our rate of growth in productivity.
Why?
Well, basically because fear. You know, when you deal with fear, it is very difficult to classify. But you can look at the consequences of it, and the consequence is basically a suppressed level of innovation and therefore of capital investment and a disinclination to take risks. In the book, incidentally, I might add, discussing what the long-term outlook is all about, we say that the issue of the aging of the population and its consequences on entitlements is having a significant negative deterioration over the long run. The reason for that is what the data unequivocally show is that entitlements, which are mandated by law, are gradually and inexorably driving out gross domestic savings in the economy, dollar for dollar. And so long as that happens, we have to borrow from abroad, which is our current account deficit, and we have now built up an $8 trillion debt to foreigners. But what this is causing this is largely the demographic issue, the fact that the population is aging. Right now, the official actuaries of the Social Security system say in order to get our Social Security and retirement funds in balance, they'd have to cut benefits by 25% indefinitely into the future.
So do you think they should do that?
First of all, do I think it's going to happen? Well, I don't know, but this is one of the reasons why inflation is the major problem out there. So long as you don't do it, you're going to cause the debt overall, the total government debt, to rise indefinitely. And that is an unstable situation.
Well, you say inflation is a big problem out there. We've been talking about this for years, that inflation has actually remained very low for the last many years.
That's correct. And in fact, it's been the lowest in American history. And that's all the more reason to be concerned about it. For example, interest rates in 5th century BC Greece were not terribly different from where they are today. So the presumption is that interest rates will rise, if for no other reason, that they're below the long-term human nature-determined stability.
What do you say to people who say that you kept interest rates too low during the dot-com boom or right afterwards, and that that helped lead to what we saw back in 2008?
The reason we kept rates low as the unemployment rate fell was the fact that productivity was rising at a very rapid pace. I mean, the dot-com boom was now moving through the economy in the latter part of the 90s. So the reason we didn't move is that we didn't feel that the signals were there. And indeed, the unemployment rate kept falling well below the usual expectation of like 4%. But with productivity rising as rapidly as it did, it changed the numbers. And indeed, the unemployment rate kept falling below 4% with no impact on inflation.
So if those low interest rates were not a cause of the financial crisis, in your view, what was? What do you think led to that in 2008?
Well, I think that what we specifically learned, strangely for the first time in 2008, is there are two conditions that are required for a crisis. One is there a toxic asset like securitized home mortgages. But the critical issue is how those mortgages are financed. And when they are financed by leveraged debt, that's the danger signal.
Do you see anything like that right now?
Nope.
Not in any area?
Well, I don't want to be general. No, that was a very extraordinary period. I mean, ordinarily, it would have been wholly inappropriate for the Federal Reserve to keep rates down during the period of very low unemployment. That was what the period was there.
I was having a conversation with somebody in the banking industry recently who said that one of their concerns was that unemployment is so low right now that there are going to be a lot of people who are hired for jobs and paid more than they should be paid, and they're not actually qualified because it's a job seeker's market right now, that the people that want to hire are having a difficult time in many cases hiring people, and that is going to lead to lower productivity and potentially inflation. What do you think about that?
Well, basically, it's not lower productivity, but it's the issue when you get this sort of tight labor market, wage rates begin to rise of necessity. And it's the wage rate rises which affect the cost of production and hence induce corporations to start raising prices basically because their costs are going up. That's where the problem lies. It hasn't really begun yet.
I want to ask you about one more big thing that you talk about in your book, and that is the issue of creative destruction. First of all, explain what that means.
Well, creative destruction is the process by which people do two things. They continuously invest, but the investment is displacing older equipment. But more importantly, it engenders unemployment. And it's the process which, unfortunately, is a necessary condition for growth and standards of living.
You have to let bad things happen in order for the overall picture to be better in the future.
Well, because the very nature of progress economically, as we point out in the book, is the result of creative destruction, which means essentially, for example, when the open hearth furnace came in the steel industry, a whole slew of procedures within the steel industry, so-called Bessemer furnaces, they became obsolete and they were scrapped. But there were also workers associated with those particular furnaces, mm-hmm. so to speak. They lose their jobs. So the labor force is continuously changing and people lose their jobs, other people gain them. That's the reason the unemployment rate per se is the best measure of finding out how successful the labor markets are.
So let me take that to the next level, which would be do you think that the government should just let recessions happen? Should they not have stepped in when the financial crisis happened and just allow things, allow the chips to fall where they may, and maybe in the long run, everybody would be better off?
Well, that's the big argument. I mean, when you get to a state such as the contagious defaulting that was going on in 2008, we put in solutions, which is to give $25 billion to every commercial bank on the grounds that that would enable them to come through the system. And actually, it was a major factor which did solve the problem and stabilize the system.
Former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan. His new book is called Capitalism in America, A History. You can hear Greenspan talking about the markets and the tax cuts at hereandnow.org.